Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, it's Martin Malloy with McMalloy and Tony Martin.
And today with Capabianco Gate and Peter Costello's enormous expanding hole staring us in the face, we turn our attentions to space. Just what is going on aboard that orbital love shack, the space station Mir? Mick's taking a closer look at Madonna's controversial baby deal. We've got the latest Boris Yeltsin sighting, and we'll be asking another famous celebrity, smooth or crunchy. We've got a special, well, everything's special today by the sounds of it, Mickey, but our special Olympic week continues on Radio Gladiators with a special Between the Sheets edition. We'll be firing up the love machine thanks to the makers of Love and Other Catastrophes, and joining us once again for a bit of directionless yak, it's special comedian Sue Ann Post. Yes, it's all coming up on the program, which in the alleged words of Imran Khan, suffers from a total lack of class and upbringing, Martin Malloy. Afternoon, Australia. It's the midweek edition of Martin Malloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who's starting to regret ever having let Dean Capabianco have a sip of his drink when he was in on the show. Mick Malloy.
I warned him. I said, that'll mess with you, that stuff.
All right, we'll get to that later. But right now, I'd like to open the window, if I could, Mickey, and have a good hard geek at what's going on up in space.
Good idea.
I don't know what's exactly going on up there. Is Peter Costello's $10.3 billion black hole, is that up there? Is that
it's in space, yeah.
They spot that with a Hubble? But anyway, NASA astronaut Shannon Lucid, she set a new U.S. space endurance record, and it ain't over yet. The 53-year-old biochemist has been up there for 115 days straight, which is still a fair way off the world record, 439 days set by a Russian cosmonaut last year. Mind you, that bloke, when he came down, talk about cabin fever. Did you see him, Mickey?
No.
He was dazed. He was incoherent, foaming at the mouth. In fact, such was his condition, he was immediately asked to run for president, believe it or not.
Is that right?
But Ms. Lucid, she's broken the US record, and NASA have just informed her that she'll be spending another 6 weeks on board the Russian space station Mir with that pair of madcap cosmonauts, Yuri and Yuri. Have you seen these two, Mickey?
Yep.
Two Russians, both called Yuri, sharing a space capsule with a female astronaut. Does it sound like a bad sitcom to you? Is it, I don't know, cosmonaut about the house, Shannon's nest, 1 foot in the airlock, mad about Yuri, please stop me now.
You better stop.
I'll go all day, the pod couple, I don't know. Oh dear, but I don't know.
Are you all done?
I think I am. Actually, there's a couple more pages, but you know, we're not that desperate yet. Wait till about break four. But I may not be too far off the mark with that kind of analysis, Mickey, because listen to this in today's paper. Yuri, and Shannon have discounted tabloid speculation about an orbital menage a trois.
It couldn't happen.
Well, there's a record waiting to be broken. Please welcome back to Earth the very first card-carrying members of the 6,000-mile high club. tabloid speculation. What does that mean aboard a spacecraft? Tabloid speculation, inside sources aboard the Mir report. Not even the New Weekly could get away with that one. What, has one of the Yuris signed one of those 50 grand deals with a woman's day, secretly slipping juicy titbits about life aboard the Mir, or the love station as we're calling it, in Morse code to the editors of New Idea? Am certain I saw the other Yuri grabbing Shannon's ass during a spacewalk last week. Keep it to yourself. How exactly do you engineer a menage a trois in zero gravity? You know, that'll make for some fascinating footage. Playboy Video presents the Mir After Dark. Commencing docking procedure over. They're pretty tricky in those spacesuits. Houston, we have a problem. But wait until Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson hear about this. They'll be signing up for the next tour of duty. We'll be seeing historic NASA footage of Astronaut 1 seated at the piano while a nude and weightless Astronaut 2 floats above him on a trapeze. But whatever's going on up there in the world's most high-tech shaggin' wagon, it's going to continue till at least mid-September. NASA yesterday announced that instead of sending up a shuttle to release Ms. Lucid from the clutches of Y-1 and Y-2, they've sent the Atlantis down to Burr appears to have a bit of work done on the donk, and they won't be picking her up for another 6 weeks. So she's trapped up there with the Yuris. But not to worry, because to tide her over, listen to what they're doing. They're shooting up an unmanned capsule, chockers with, wait for it, books. from the current bestseller list. Books! NASA has a mobile library shuttle now, do they? Has it got a little old lady stamping them? But at a cost of no doubt millions of bucks, they're launching a capsule full of books from the top 10 list. Imagine if that flew off course and was picked up by an alien civilization. That'd confuse them. What's this? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus? What?
The new SAM.
That's Alanis Morissette. A bit of a tyre pressure problem there for Alanis. You learn here at Martin Malloy. Now, Mick, is anything else going on? I'm doing anything I can to avoid talking about Peter Costello.
Oh, well, I've done the same. And I've gone down your track, Tony. Here's some more crazy bonking news.
Oh, you're joking.
No, I'm afraid not.
It's a bit of a theme on today's show. Yeah. We should warn people.
Slow news day?
I think so.
Listen to this. 5 months pregnant Madonna is said to have dumped her muscle-bound lover, Carlos Leon, booting him out of her heart and home, as reported in one of the women's mags this week. Mm-hmm. It now appears the 37-year-old material girl was only using Carlos as a baby-making machine and now plans to bring the baby up alone.
Oh, it's a baby-making machine.
She better get her beady eyes off our love machine.
Oh, dear.
That's not for you. That's not for you, Madonna.
No way.
Madonna successfully pressured Carlos to sign a contract stating he would give up all custody rights to his unborn child. Oh, listen to this. Madonna will pay Carlos 125,000 smackers a year for 20 years for agreeing to play second fiddle when it comes to raising their baby. Gee. The deal allows him only supervised visits once a month and then only if the child wants to see him he's not allowed to be present at the birth. Oh. Now, they're saying, Tone, that Carlos has been stitched up in the deal, but I don't know. It sounds pretty good to me. I think it would to most blokes. In fact, when I get home tonight, I'll be approaching my girlfriend with the exact same deal. All right. I'll accept 125,000 over the next 20 years. What? Take a back seat. What? In the raising of the child? Oh, okay. Visits once a month. What? Oh, I'm getting the rough end of the stick now. And all right, I won't turn up for the birth. Oh, I've been crunched.
You'll be at the footy.
Not allowed to be present at the birth. That's a bit tough. I'm sure photographer Herb Ritt's got an invite.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure all the lawyers will be there. The only reason for turning up would be to see if it was twins and you doubled your money.
I'm sure Carlos will be able to see it on MTV eventually.
Absolutely. Tone, blokes all over the world today are hailing Carlos Leon as a genius. Mm. Forget Albert Einstein. Forget Stephen Hawking. What about the Cuban dude who stitched up the Madonna baby deal? I'm going to get a piece of that action for sure. Yeah. I'm open to offers, ladies. Contact my lawyers. Let's nut out a deal. Get your people to talk to my people and let's do the bizzo. It'll be top dollar, though. Cash in advance, no refunds. I mean, I think it's fair to say you'll be employing the services of a prize bull. Feel free to complete that phrase at home. Tone, I've got sire written all over me. I'm not prepared to say what price you'll be paying for my seed, girls, but I think this will be a great opportunity to retrieve some of those missing 1 and 2 cent pieces still out in circulation. Not to be there at the child's birth, Tone. Oh, you can bet he argued that one. Oh, no! What? I can't come. Oh, that's such a shame. Oh, no. I haven't been this upset since I wasn't allowed to go to that exorcism. Oh, well, suppose I'll just have to go skiing. Jeez, Madonna, got to hand it to those lawyers. They really screwed me this time. Still, he'll get to see it a month or so later.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'll have a grin from ear to ear, Tone, as he gets a good look and a cuddle of his precious little bundle of cash.
Martin Malloy. And time once again for one of our most popular segments, Smooth or Crunchy, where by request we drop a prominent celebrity into a large vat of infected Australian peanut butter. And today our subject is Australian actor Justin Pratt. Justin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, mate. Happy to be here. Love your work.
Now, Justin, I know this is a bit out of the blue, but would it be possible for you to crap on at considerable length About yourself.
Happy to, mate. I love acting. I love being an actor. But, you know, there's more to me than just acting per se, right, as I think a lot of my fans would be aware. Mm-hmm. There's a spiritual side to what I'm doing or trying to do. I think you can see it in pictures like Gaping Headwound, Sharon Stone, lovely lady, great to work with, very giving as a performer. Mm. Gene Hackman, great bloke, consummate professional.
Sure.
Of course, I'm not into that whole Hollywood scene, Bridget Fonda, fantastic lady.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of pretension out there, and I'm not into that. Mm. You know, I'm much more comfortable down here with my poetry and my spirituality and my Tai Chi and my flotation tank and my Brett Whiteley's.
I see.
And my band, of course.
All right.
Because I'm very serious about my music, as I think you'd be aware. It's not just some actor's vanity thing.
No.
That's why on the cover of the CD, my name is the same size as all the other guys in the band. And
I think
you'll notice it's second after the bass player.
Third.
What?
It's third.
Someone is going to get their ass kicked for this. You, can you give me another mineral water? Did I mention Sharon Stone?
Yeah. So you see Hollywood as a very shallow place.
Yeah, sure. It's full of very shallow, self-obsessed people. Who's the babe, mate?
What?
Behind the glass and the...
Oh, that's our receptionist.
You. See if she's single, get her phone number.
If we could get back to...
Me, sure. Francis Ford Coppola, great bloke.
Uh-huh.
Hollywood, it's a kind of moral vacuum, you know. It's full of people who have lost touch with the real world. In fact, just yesterday, I was sitting in Spargo, a very exclusive restaurant in LA, and I faxed some lyrics which say just that to the rest of the guys in the band in Warrandyte.
So why do you spend so much time there?
Look, don't get me wrong. I love the Australian industry. Noah, Ben, Aidan, Jeffrey Wright, Tony Collette, great blokes. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I only go over there to work with the Scorseses, the Tarantinos.
And what are you working on at the moment?
I've just done another film with the director of Weekend at Bernie's, great bloke. In fact, he's using one of the band's tracks in the film. It's a very confronting piece about how people in the media abuse their power.
Well, Justin, I don't think I can put up with much more of this, so time to ask the question, smooth or crunchy?
Mate, I'm going to go for smooth. Oh. I know a lot of my fans would expect me to go for crunchy because I am a very edgy, dangerous, if you like, crunchy kind of performer.
Right.
I take chances.
Right.
I like to get to that place where, as an actor, I can...
Are we ready?
Well, it's kind of like what I'm
ready
doing with
go?
My book of haikus. It's a it's a sort of existential kind of Charles Bukowski style.
Quickly, drop it. And join us next week when we ask another famous Australian, smooth or crunchy?
Sharon Stone, lovely lady. Brad Pitt, great bloke. Did I get that mineral water?
This is professional radio, Martin Malloy. That was Mariah Carey. That should have been Open Arms. But was it something else? Was it always been...
Someone's going to get smacked.
Oh, there'll be trouble. Dan's going to be coming in here with a pitchfork. We'll jump in front of it, Gracie. We'll save you. Don't worry. And what are we talking about today? Well, we're just getting
Does
our...
Does it matter?
No, because Gladiators is coming up and...
You were going to say Gladiators.
Was I?
Gladiators.
Was I going to...
There's a competition I'm looking forward
turn
to.
Turn into a New Zealander just for a moment. Well, we're talking Olympic stuff today again. I know the Olympic week hasn't been that successful or effective, but...
It's been much maligned.
Yeah. We're going to forge on, Nut. We're not going to say Nut. We're just going to forge on with that. And we've got the Love Machine coming up.
Right.
That went okay yesterday. We were asking people to tell us about wacky weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a woman who, I think, married a photograph of Kris Kristofferson in her younger years. Can you marry a photograph?
I think you can. I think you can. I can't say for sure.
I'm just looking through the papers, seeing if there's any photos that I might get hitched up with. I don't know.
There's nothing for you in there, Tone.
No.
There's nothing. Hang on. There's a nice one of Ian Botham. Look at that.
Is it Ian Botham?
Is that just, look at that picture, and is that just saying to you, goofball? Is that what it's saying to you?
Ian Botham and Max Walker, is there much of a difference these days? No, there isn't. Talking of sporting photographs, how's the way many of the tabloid newspapers have decided to seize upon the opportunity to print nude pictures of Dean Capobianco on the cover?
Mm.
Just because he's in the news, they've gone, get them pictures out of black and white. So all over the front of, well, your Melbourne Herald Sun, there's just a totally nude black and white arty looking Kappa Bianco.
And I think that's the actual shot that led to him being drug tested. I think the drug body saw that photo and said, get him in there now, and I want to see him peeing in a beaker. Because there's something going on. He would never have agreed to do that if he was in control of all his faculties.
And there's a photograph of Adriana Exanides. Could I get hitched up with that? Would that be legal?
I don't know. I'm just having trouble even contemplating that idea. Can you do that?
Just looking for anything else. I like this idea of having nude photographs on the front of the paper when the person's in the news. Mm. Are there any nude pictures of Peter Costello they could whack on the front of tomorrow's?
Oh, Tone. Don't put that idea in anyone's head. I'll be back in a second. I'm just going to leave the room for a minute.
Peter Costello in his $10.3 billion hole. And he's been talking about his hole quite a lot on the news lately. Every time you look around, it's Peter Costello's hole. And don't you love Peter Costello's serious face? I always get a good cack when Peter Costello comes out with the serious face, because it always looks like he's just heard a really dirty joke off on the wings. And then they've gone, you've got to go and tell him about the economy. So it's with some regret that it's the phoniest serious face I've ever seen.
I agree.
I don't reckon he gets away with it.
Get out there and start handing out blankies.
That's right.
That's what you do best, Costello. 10.3 million. What was it going to be? 8 billion?
Yeah.
There's a lot more blankies to be handed out.
He was handing out blankets aplenty on the streets of Melbourne when it was 8 billion. He'll be out there. Peter Reith will be behind him with more blankets. The whole Liberal Party will just blankets a go-go.
Yep.
But, get the blankets out, Peter. Who else is in the news? Oh, yes, I think we have to hear the Boris Yeltsin theme, Gracie, if we could. Let's just take it in. Just enjoy it. People might want to tape it at home, so here we go. That's fantastic.
If Russia wins any gold medals, apparently this is the music they're going to play at the podium.
Sensational.
Well, yesterday, a tear to your eye.
We were talking about Boris Yeltsin's mysterious disappearance, how he hasn't been spotted in public for 2 weeks, although he has been seen on television. And some of that footage, Mickey, I don't know. Mm. Some people are suggesting that it's, you know, from the files.
Right.
I did become suspicious when they showed him shaking hands with Richard Nixon. But a pale and stiff-looking Yeltsin did in fact meet with US Vice President Al Gore yesterday. Himself pretty stiff-looking at the best of times. It was a high-powered meeting of the stiffies yesterday, a stiffy summit which took place at a government sanatorium on the outskirts of Moscow. Sanatorium. There's too much to take in this sentence. Where Yeltsin is enjoying a two-week, quote, holiday. Now, reporters arrived at the sanatorium to find Mr. Yeltsin just standing there and staring fixedly at a door. Now, this went on for some 45 seconds. It doesn't say whether Yeltsin addressed the door as Mr. Vice President, but what do you make of that? One of the world's biggest and most powerful nations has just elected as its number one commander-in-chief a bloke who spends his day standing around sanatoriums staring fixedly at doors. The only way the Americans are going to be able to instigate any further cooperative dialogue with Russia is if they elect Muhammad Ali.
This is Martin Malloy.
If anybody thought that we could sit around and watch this problem disappear, today is the sobering news.
Brought to you by absolutely nobody.
Costello and his blankets, giving out the blankets. Maybe that's the way he can give us the bad news as to how big the deficit is. He just brings out a whole lot of blankets and however many he's got. That's what we're up to.
Peter Costello has just called a press conference. Oh, look out. He's got a wheelbarrow.
If he comes out with like a stack of 50, we know it's crossed the 10 billion mark, something like that. Sensible ideas. That's what this program is all about. And no other segment exemplifies that more than this one.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Olympians on the job. That's what we're talking about today. It's Olympic week here at Gladiators.
That's all we've been talking about today.
It's a complete coincidence. We're sorry about this. It's the after dark edition of Martin Malloy, but it's in the papers today. It's a serious issue, Mick. Should our athletes be starved of sex in the run-up to the Games? Thailand and South Africa both say yes. It's a sure way to improve your medal chances. But 13 other countries are divided on the benefits of abstention. And, in fact, we're in favour of this and in favour of sex and, in fact, encouraging pre-competition sex, according to a survey by British condom manufacturer Durex. Well, they're not going to be impartial, are they?
They haven't got a vested interest.
It's like, you know, the people at Jim Beam going, oh, you should have a couple of shots before you attempt the javelin.
What was the name of the company?
It's Durex.
Durex. Did they make that fish suit?
was that a Durex?
The bloke in the big fish suit?
I'm sure it was.
It was a prototype they were working on.
It's yet to be perfected, but... So we're saying today, okay, let's assume, because this is a thing you hear a lot of, you know, abstaining from sex, does it work? I know there's a few more countries have laid their cards on the table. Spain, Mexico and Germany are actually encouraging sportsmen and women to get out and start going the sex.
That increases, they're saying it helps the...
they're in favour of, going at it like rabbits and bringing the medals home. It's as simple as that. That's the formula for the Spaniards and the Germans and the Mexicans.
Well, there you go.
But I know, people say no, if you don't have sex, it helps your performance. And in fact, I read a story about Jake LaMotta. You know Jake LaMotta, the famous boxer who Robert De Niro played in Raging Bull? Apparently he was completely celibate for several years while he was at the height of his boxing profession and reputation. And what he used to do is any time he felt that, he might be getting a hunkering for a bit of sex, as it were, he'd just reach for an ice bucket, no matter where he was, and just tip it down the shorts. And he'd be in a restaurant and he'd go, oh, Jesus, and just go for an ice bucket down the... Whoever had it.
Off the next table.
That's right.
Excuse me, madam.
Down the shorts, because I've got a big fight on tomorrow. But I don't want to get carried away.
Well, I've seen you particularly damp pre-show tone, so obviously you've taken a leap out of that book.
Oh, yes.
You abstained, do you, prior to a show?
No pre-show sex on this program, I'm afraid.
It hasn't been for a good 5-6 years now.
And the show's certainly improved because of it. But
what are we looking for?
what's our question? What do we want people to do?
We've talked ourselves into a dark corner, as we often do on this segment. We want people to call up, and let's assume that this theory's solid, that our athletes shouldn't be indulging in between-the-sheets style action. How are we going to enforce it? How are we going to encourage it? How are we going to stop them from getting on the job? What's the best way to do it?
Well, I'm thinking here's one that's worked successfully for the swim team.
Yep.
We're not competing. Lots of birdie dancing.
Oh, right.
Once you've been seen doing the full birdie dance in public, you're off the list.
Okay.
You're off everyone's list. Here's one. Right. When they're in their beds, the athletes are in their beds and say they're out and about and things are starting to get a bit fresh, just as that's all going, have Peter Costello pop in and offer extra blankies.
That would put a stop to proceedings, wouldn't it?
Absolutely foolproof. What about athletes have to watch Hail and Pace before lights out?
No, that would take. When you at the moment, it'd be gone. You could have that 5-day erection injection. And I'm sorry, you're still going nowhere. That's the only known antidote. So, an episode of Hail and Pace.
So you're actually saying that the head of our Olympic team is going to come on the press conference and go, we're adopting the Hail and Pace technique.
Absolutely.
In the Australian camp.
It's the only one that the actual the Pope and the Catholic Church suggest is one you can use. Right. What about prior to sex, making sure all the athletes negotiate with Madonna's lawyers?
Oh, well, there
See?
You go.
We're thinking now. We're thinking.
What about all the female athletes being forced to dress like Olive from On the Buses?
Bit of an obscure one, but it could work.
Oh, dear.
And that certainly leads us to the prize pack, Mickey.
I thought you were going to say Olive from Popeye.
Possibly, I don't know. Or dress like Bluto. I know a lot of the Chinese female swimmers already look like Bluto.
Sorry, cheap shot.
We're talking classic British comedy. We're talking videos of Not the 9 o'clock News, of the young ones of French and Saunders and Blackadder. And
any low in there?
No low.
Birds of a feather?
Nothing.
On the Buses? You've been mentioning it. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was an uncalled for Blakey, and that must be the cue for the phone number. Call us with your ways to stop our athletes thinking sex. Get their minds off the job. Call us with your suggestions. It's going to help us win gold, people. 1-800-657-657.
Hot on two.
Finally, radio...
Communication takes two. That's the Janes here at Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators. We're talking Olympics again. And a new survey study, bit of science, a bit of, I don't know, something in the paper anyway, suggests that by abstaining from sex, our athletes have got a better chance of achieving gold over at Atlanta. And we're saying, okay, that might be true, but how are we going to enforce, how are we going to encourage it, how are we going to ensure that they do in fact abstain? Who have we got on the line with a suggestion, Mickey?
It's the G-Man, Graham. How are you, Graham?
All right, boys, yourself?
Not too bad. Now, what are you cooked up for our athletes here? Way to help them refrain from having sex?
All right. Well, for the guys, I've got to castrate them.
Castrate them, okay. That's fairly straight into the point, Mickey.
We've been working for the Chinese swimming team.
We've got to lock them off. Then you don't have to take steroids as well.
Gotcha. Okay. So obviously, for Dean Capobianco, it might be chemical castration. Allegedly. Allegedly.
But for the girls, I don't know what to do for the girls.
Well, I'm sure there's something. But thanks,
Brian. That's a competition.
That's a whole separate segment. I think we're off to a fairly blunt start,
Mickey.
Yeah, sure. Castration. Can we go any more creative?
Let's try. Terry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, yes.
What you got for us?
Mate, I think it's a standard issue for all the Australian athletes. Mm. I think a laminated picture, a bloody big laminated picture of Arthur Tunstall, which should be put up in his boxing trunks, put up above all the bedheads in the dormitory. Yeah. And just as a backup plan, I think, too, they should be issued with a large laminated photo of Mother Teresa for the bedfoot.
Oh, I see. Mother Teresa.
Yep.
And that'll get the complaints coming in. And
Arthur Tunstall, that's a bit extreme. We don't want to frighten them.
I love
it. We just want to make them abstain from sex.
Yeah, I don't know if you have to go as far as the boxing shorts. Just
that'd do it for
just that one they show on the news all the time where he's looking like Eric Morecambe. That one. It certainly works around in my place. Yes. Okay, thanks, Terry. Next, we've got Narelle. Narelle, what's your suggestion?
Oh, that was a good one, wasn't it? Well, I thought if they had to keep a gold diary of reasons why they needed sexual activity and had to submit it to the swimming coach, etc., then that would probably turn them off having discourage them of having any sexual activity.
Yes.
So you're suggesting putting pen to paper.
Oh, yes.
So John,
with reasons why they need it.
Right. So John Howard would be round every day looking over their shoulder, making sure they're filling out their sex diary. You know, I'm sure we're all going to have to be filling them out by the end of this government's term. I just get that feeling. Thanks very much, Narelle. That's not a bad suggestion.
Okay.
And torn from today's headlines, have we got Mark with us? Mark?
Yeah, I have.
Mark, what's your suggestion?
Well, I was thinking maybe put a poster of Bob and Blanche up on every ceiling.
And would it be in the bathrobes?
No, just maybe even worse, in their wedding outfit.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Were you actually here, Mark, on the day?
Oh, no, I couldn't make it that day.
All right, or you just couldn't find any eggs around
the
house. Okay. All right, thanks, Mark. Now we're talking to Peter. Peter, have you got a suggestion?
Yeah, mate, this one's directed at the guys as well. Probably not as drastic as castration.
Yeah.
But how about crimping?
Crimping! Are you going to crimp our male athletes?
Well, yeah, it is reversible, so...
So it's just you're going to crimp them for the duration of the Olympics.
Well, yeah.
And then they get the tackle.
Well, we've been informed that it is reversible within half an hour, so...
Okay, apparently, if you've got the tools in the shed. Thanks, Peter.
That's it.
And finally, Jason, what's your suggestion? We need a way to stop our Olympic athletes thinking sex. What's your answer?
Well, I'd have them, when they're not competing, having to wear that crappy Olympic uniform.
Oh, the Olympic uniform!
They look like such dicks. No one's going to bother trying to think of sex.
There's a deterrent. Couldn't have worked better if it wasn't a suit made out of acid wash.
You know what? I love the picture of Arthur Tunstall, but I think that's the winner, Mickey.
I think you might be right.
Yes, indeed. Those Olympic uniforms that they're going to have to be wearing when they walk around the track for the opening ceremony, that's the ultimate contraceptive in my book. So, yes, indeed, you've got the British Comedy Pack.
Excellent, guys. I hope they're available to public too, because I'm interested in getting one.
Oh, yes, they're available. You can go down your shop and buy as many as you want. Top British comedy, but as we pointed out, sadly, no Georgian Mildred in there.
Oh, no.
Yes, sad news indeed. But listen to this. We're going to be back tomorrow with another special Olympic Radio Gladiators, and we're going to be back in the next hour with Sue Ann Post.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Absolutely Nobody.
And
end in this hour of Martin Malloy, the love machine. It's past its rego. It's ready to go. We'll find out what Robbie Coltrane's been up to. And next up, we're on for a yak with Sue Ann Post. Space. That's OMC. How bizarre here at Martin Malloy. It's the second hour. Finally, Mickey. And let's welcome our guest. Let's welcome her back to the show. We haven't seen her for quite a while. She's a writer, a comedian, and as far as I know, she's Australia's tallest woman. I certainly hope she's not on the Capabianco cocktails. Let's find out as we run a few tests on Sue Ann Post. Isn't it fun to be in here being yelled at, Sue Ann? All our guests experience that. Like.
I just can't get enough of it. And to be yelled at by two such charming blokes.
Oh, sorry. Cut it out. Yeah, look at me. I've gone
bright red.
Now, what
it was irony. It was irony.
We don't like irony in these parts, I'm afraid, ma'am. But
what have you got for? What have you been up to lately? Anything we should know about before we get down to business?
No, nothing much, really. I've just been under a rock. For a little while. Vegetating, trying to cope with the official start of the Age of Aquarius, which happened in January, and has mucked everything up.
Yeah, it's mucked
everything up.
What's happened? What does that involve, the Age of Aquarius?
Well, it's finally started this year, and the planets are all lining up. I think there's two more to slot into place before things start getting back to normal, because I don't know about you, but everyone's life is in turmoil. Mine included.
And does it mean it's now the financial age of Aquarius, now that we've moved into July? Does it work that way at all?
Well, that could be an extra little kick along, too. I hadn't thought of that. I don't know if that was considered, 40,000 years ago.
We don't celebrate the age of Aquarius on this station. We celebrate Rocktober, as far as I know. That's an ancient tradition stemming back over the centuries, isn't it?
It's a pagan ritual time.
It certainly is, where all the Barnsley tracks line up. It's a fantastic thing that happens every year. Now, Sue Ann, before we get to business, would you like to do as we do and just say the word Capabianco?
Capabianco.
Isn't it fun?
Is it white hat?
Is it what?
It's a type of Cinzano.
I'm pretty sure.
It's really bad, but every time I see it, I just have El Caballo Blanco running through my head when I hear that name. I actually went there once with my sister.
Oh, really? I don't think that's legal, is it? Having El Capabianco going through your head. I think there's testing for that now. Now, Sue Ann, we're talking drugs on the show today because everyone's talking drug testing. I understand you've been doing some research into the world of drug use and you've got an exciting new prospect.
A way to totally avoid all drug laws. Do it safely, legally and cheaply.
Mm. And how is this? So this is a way that you can have the benefits of drugs but without actually
putting anything in your system.
Right. Now, I know somebody wrote to the papers recently and suggested you could do that by attending a Neil Diamond concert. That was a popular...
That's not the cheapest alternative, though. I understand those tickets were quite expensive. Oh, yeah,
that's true. What are you sitting on here?
Ping pong balls. Now, so let me just...
We better explain that.
I think about it. I did a course at college called Altered States of Consciousness. My lecturer said, don't mess with drugs. You don't need to. I can teach you because drugs don't cause the effects. They merely trigger in your brain what's already there. If, for instance, you'd like the full-on LSD hallucinations, one merely needs two ping pong balls.
Right. You just need two ping pong balls.
Yes, you chop them in half. Don't put the side with the little logo thing over your eyes because that won't work.
Yeah.
Basically, what theory is, if your brain does not get visual stimulation, it will create its own. And if you put two halves of ping pong balls over your eyes and stare at a bright light, because then you just have this white field, no depth perception, nothing, just this blank whiteness. And if you sit there long enough, the brain will get bored and make something up for you.
You haven't been hanging out with Joey Skaggs, the master hoaxer, have you?
No, I have actually tried this with a friend.
And?
And the flatmates walked in and almost fell over. It does look rather stupid. We stayed long enough, I think it took about an hour, and we saw swirling blobs of colour.
Really? So you saw pretty much a lava lamp inside you. Right, so hang on, your friends have come in, they've walked into the lounge room, you're sitting there with ping pong balls over your eyes going, I'm pretending I'm on drugs.
I'm finding an alternative route to drugs.
Okay, so that's one, LSD.
buffs at home can now throw away the LSD and just buy a couple of ping pong balls.
Yes, the only thing we found was like to totally block it out because there are little bits around the edge of the eyes that stuff does in, which makes it's rather awkward. And it, after a while, it hurts your eyes.
Yeah, we see you're not buying your ping pong balls from the right bloke, obviously.
Yeah, I think those blokes who host those lotto draws must be off their nut when they finish their gig.
Oh, yeah.
I looked last week and there was only 3 balls left and I'm thinking, where have the others gone?
What if you tried this technique with balls from the Powerball game? That'd be a pretty full-on experience,
I'm imagining. With the numbers in front of your eyes, I don't know. You probably hallucinate about the numbers.
I suppose so. And, okay, that's one. Have you got any others for us there?
Dope.
Right.
Now, if you're natural high, you will need a postgrad psych student who has access to a pretty good EEG machine.
Right.
And get stoned off your nut on the drug of your choice.
Yeah.
And they read the brainwave patterns through the EEG. They track the electrodes to your head.
Yeah.
Then they can shoot. They can find the frequency because it changes your brainwave patterns. Usually people are on alpha.
Right.
Instead of beta.
Yeah.
They're on alpha when they're stoned, and then they tune the machine into that, and basic biofeedback, you sit there, it takes about a week, and you teach yourself.
It takes about a week, does it?
Well, a few training sessions at least, you know. It's tuned into alpha, and every time you do alpha, it'll beep at you.
Yes.
And once you've trained your body to do it, then you can be walking down the street and just go, I want to be stoned. Bing. There you go.
Now, for those of us, Suanne, who don't have access to an EEG machine, if I get a car battery and a couple of jumper leads, sit there in a chair with a couple of ping pong balls over my eyes, can you guarantee me a good night out?
Yes, but not the one I was intending. It would be rather different.
And are there any others in this fabulous cachet of out-of-body experiences?
How are you coming up with these? Are you on the hunt, or are these just coming to you on a daily basis? Are you just running around the house testing anything? Are you cutting milk cartons in half and strapping them to your arms and running around the lounge room with your underpants on your head? What are you doing? What's the process?
You've got a hidden camera, haven't you?
I see.
Damn! Busted!
Tonya Todman, she must be off her face all the time.
It's just what I remember from... Those are the only two I can remember from that course. But
now, what was this course again, Sue?
Altered States of Consciousness.
Altered States of Consciousness.
People will be writing that down all around the country right now, I reckon.
All right, well, enough ping pong ball talk. Can you stick around for another break with us, Sue Ann?
Sure.
And we'll be having a couple more out-of-body experiences in just a moment. I'm Martin Molloy.
Fun!
Closer to free, of course. That is the Bodines here at Martin Molloy, still getting our act together 1.5 hours into the show today. And Sue Ann Post is with us on the panel. Sue Ann, I know you're always investigating stuff. You've told us how we can have an out-of-body experience with a couple of ping-pong balls. That would be enough for one program here at Martin Molloy. What else have you been investigating lately?
Well, I've just been casting my mind over... I like to look at the long-term view of things. A couple of friends recently had kids and they've done the home birth video thing.
Oh, the home birth video.
Which is okay because but they're looking at it from the wrong perspective, I think. It's okay. It's our video of the birth of our child. Isn't it fabulous?
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard stories of 3-year-olds watching them and going, that's me coming out of mummy's bottom.
Really?
But at what age does it become unseemly?
Yes, exactly.
To watch it?
Yeah.
Like, I long-term view, 40 years down the track, I'm seeing middle-aged businessmen looking at the video. Oh!
Here's some of my early work.
At what age does a kid get up and when there's a viewing going on and go, righto, that's it, show's over, folks. That's enough. Nothing to see here.
And even further down the track, does anyone want to see their grandmother giving birth?
Mm. Well, exactly.
It's a kind of tape that should be deployed wisely.
Probably locked up in the back of the cupboard and people will be very odd in videos.
Is this a craze? Are you noticing more people are doing this these days?
As the video technology is taken off and more people are doing it.
Yeah, it won't be long before we see someone like Channel 9 package up funniest home birth video shows and it'll be just wacky births and it'll be cheap to make and they'll run 52 episodes a year and they'll all sit around laughing like drones.
And there'll be lots of kind of stuff.
Also, further down the track, you think, how much family are people going to be carrying around? Because, we know our parents. I've got photos of my grandparents, that's it.
Yes.
But eventually, it'll be like there's great-great-great-granddad pissed at the Barbie kicking the dog.
Yes, exactly.
And, you'll know your entire family history will be on video and it'll all be out of focus and boring.
Oh, yes. Yeah, my parents made a video of my birth, which they produced just recently, but I've made them digitally remove my head. You know, just that fuzzy thing you see when people are coming out of court. I would have grabbed a jumper, but didn't have one handy at the time.
So what you're saying, Sue Ann, is it's fine for the kids to be watching the home birth videos, but we need a V-chip system where once you're
like,
it's closed off.
Because otherwise we're going to just raise a nation of psychopaths.
Exactly.
It can't be good for the psyche to be seeing that when you're grown.
Have you got home videos, movies of yourself when you were a kid, Sue Ann? Are you going for that?
No, see, because I am of the generation where unless you were quite well off and did the old super hi-8 film camera.
Yes, yes.
Unless you hired a director and put someone on boom.
Exactly.
Great opportunity.
No, it was slides.
Yes.
Slides and photos in my family.
A slideshow of your birth. That'd be fun.
Nearly there.
Just flick really quick.
Who put that one in upside down?
Well, we've got some Super 8 film of our family back in the late 60s, early 70s, and I don't know, we seem to be constantly in fast motion back in the 60s. It was just one long episode of the Benny Hill show around in my place when I was a kid, apparently. But, yes, the home videos, I don't know, it's accumulating. This home videos are... We've only had home videos for about 10 years, but it's obviously accumulating, and it's a problem that has to be addressed. So, Ann, do you have anything to plug? This is the part of the show where you can just tell
fest.
You it's
plug
fest. It's plug fest. We'll start the clock and you've got 20 seconds to plug anything you want.
I am in a book what is coming out next month. It's called Hot Type. It's to celebrate 50 years of Penguin in Australia, and it's all these new and exciting young writers.
Right.
And I'm in it, and Amanda Keller's in it.
Oh, tops.
And I think Hung Lee's in it as well.
Oh, I see.
All sorts of weird and wacky writings in between bits of cardboard.
And has Max Walker contributed to it?
I think they missed out on Max.
Okay.
He was a bit late with his submission.
All right.
How to hypnotise chooks. People just read it too many times.
Well, watch no one puts one of those fatwas on you. You got to be careful.
Oh, there
days.
Might be a Mormon fatwa out on me already.
Mormon fatwa.
All right. Here it is.
So getting the fatwa cue with Sue Ann Post. Thanks for talking to us today, Sue Ann.
Thanks, Sue Ann.
Probs. Thank you.
And we'll see you again here on Martin Molloy. Molloy, thanks very much to Sue Ann Post for dropping by. And if you live in Sydney, you can check her out for 3 weeks, three whole long complete weeks at the Harold Park Hotel from August the 19th. So still a good month away. And right now, Pete, what is it time for?
It's time to fire up the Martin Molloy Love Machine. As you know, listeners, love can be a fickle mistress. But Mick and Tony have the technology to tame her. It's called the Love Machine, and it's chockers with the good stuff. Every day, the Love Machine spews out another challenge to test your knowledge and expertise in the field of love, relationships, and good old-fashioned doing the bizzo.
Simone, what have you got for us?
My neighbour married his motorbike.
Was it a bloke motorbike or was it a female motorbike?
No, it was a female motorbike.
Okay. It's the only wedding where cans have actually been attached to the back of the bride.
And how's the marriage holding out?
It's still going, yes.
Right.
6 months.
Has the bride got her rego?
Yes.
If you can successfully rise to the Love Machine's challenge, you'll win tickets and a CD soundtrack to the new Australian film everybody's talking about, Love and Other Catastrophes. Plus, you'll go into the draw for a brand new Volkswagen Golf CL hatchback, valued at $27,000. Now, if that doesn't get the juices flowing, nothing will. Okay, love doctors, crank it up. And remember, if the love machine's rocking, don't bother knocking.
Yes, indeed. How could we forget Pete Smith and Mickey? This car we're giving away, the Volkswagen Golf, worth 27 grand, courtesy of the people behind Love and Other Catastrophes, which incidentally comes out at your local cinema August 1st.
Go and see it, people.
And I've had the car out. I've taken for a bit of a spin. It's got a couple of dings. I think I might have backed it into one of the Black Thunders at one point. But it'll all be ironed out in time for the prize draw.
I hope you haven't ruined it.
But it's a top bit of work. And how can you get your hands on it? How can you go in the draw? Well, Mickey, it's up to you. Pull the switch on the love machine if you could.
We got it together.
Here it comes. Yes, the readout today.
What you got?
It simply says childhood crushes.
Yeah.
We're talking about young love, young undeveloped love today, Nicky. We've all had a crush on somebody when we were kids. Yep. I know I've talked about this before on the show. There was, for me, it was Julie Newmar, the original Catwoman on Batman.
Is that right?
And after that, a brief flirtation with Betty Rubble. And
I must admit, I had a soft spot for Betty Rubble too.
What about the Charlie's Angels, Mick, when you
were a kid? Take it, Mick.
I can't think. I know everyone went for Farrah Fawcett Majors. Mm. I think I was more keen on one of the trashier later ones. I can't remember there was other ones. Like
Shelley Hack.
Shelley Hack.
I must admit I was one of those many sucked into it at the time who went out and got the Farrah Fawcett haircut.
Oh, were
remember
you?
That was the rage?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I got the, I think it was the Tanya Roberts haircut. And I went and I said, I want it like when she was Sheena, Queen of the Jungle. That's how keen I was. But, yeah, there's a few names for you. And anyone else, Mickey?
Look, I've got to be honest here, and I've got to say I had a whopping crush on Mrs. Cunningham from Happy Days.
Oh, yeah.
I used to love those skirts. She had this one skirt that had come down, and oh so lovely it was. It would come down to just below the knee, and on one kind of side of it, she had embroidered a little poodle.
Oh, is that right?
And I'd just go gooey in the nether regions. Tone, as a young boy, Mrs. Cunningham, when she turned to Mr. C and used to call him Howie, oi, oi, oi.
And well, quite a coincidence because I know it's called you.
A kind of Florence Henderson appeal, if you yes. know what I mean.
Well, we'll see if we can get Mrs. C on the show, shall we? I know you, didn't you write your name on your arm with a compass?
I did. I scratched it
Mrs.
in.
Mrs. C written on there.
Yep.
And it's cool. That's quite a coincidence because weren't you known as Mick the Mouth for quite a while? I think you were. We've all had childhood crushes on some kind of celebrity. My girlfriend probably doesn't want me to say this, but when she was very young, she was very keen on various members of Status Quo.
Mm.
And it's major points for me if I can mention members of Status Quo by name on the show. And that's why I know a lot of people call up and say, why are you always mentioning Rick Parford on your program? Well, now you know. It's just money in the bank for me. But call us up and tell us who you had a childhood crush on. Put yourself in the running for that fabulous Volkswagen Golf. You'll also get tickets to see Love and Other Catastrophes, and you'll get a copy of the CD soundtrack. Call us now with your crush. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
If anybody thought that we could sit around and watch this problem disappear, today is the same.
Yourself a martini, get yourself comfortable, people. It's time for the Love Machine here at Martin Malloy. We're talking about childhood crushes. We want to know who you had them on. And, Mickey, could you please introduce the crushers? Let them tell us about the crushies.
All right, here we go. Peter, what you got for us?
I don't know if your listeners might remember, but it's Madge from the Palm Olive ad,
You know you're soaking in it. You know, and I'd always sit there, and I'll be the first to say, watching those Palm Olive ads, and I would be there the whole time just mentally undressing Madge. Uh-huh. I'm sure that's what they intended. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, before you know it, you were soaking in it, eh?
It had that kind of headmistressy appeal. You know what I mean, Tom?
I haven't left the kitchen since. Oh, I do all the dishes myself.
Listen to this, the both of you. There's a rumour. It hasn't been confirmed at this stage that Penelope Keith is coming in on the show in upcoming weeks. So.
Oh, dear.
So I'm sure both Mickey and Peter are going to be out the front.
Put the good suit on, Pete.
Well, I'll get my tickets ready.
All right. Thanks, Peter. Not a bad one. Next, we've got Mike. Mike, who do you have a crush on?
How are you, boys?
Good.
But I used to love Ginger from Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yes.
But I used to love her when I was a little kid, but it's only now I've rekindled the flame with through Foxtel. And the boys and I, where I live, we just can't get over how much of a good sort she is.
Yes.
And was. We loved her as a kid, but now we'd like to take her out for dinner or something like that.
Right. Mike, have you thought of doing an ad for Foxtel? It's just you going, Check out Ginger and check out what a good sort she is.
Well, it's a bit of a toss-up between Ginger and Marianne at our place, but Ginger wins out, no, hands down.
Yes, I can see you in the middle of a Gilligan's sandwich right there. Okay, thanks very much, Mike. Not a bad one. Now we've got Christina. Christina, who'd you have a crush on?
Oh, Garth Porter from Sherbet.
Was it the hair?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, it was just so, you know, 70s style.
Mm. And did you ever get along? Did you ever go to a taping or countdown or anything?
No, I never got to see them in, you know, in real life or anything like that in concert. But I used to tape all their music and write out the words and sit at my hours at my desk, you know, just writing out all the words to their songs so I could sing to them. Oh, yeah.
And who have you got a crush on these days, Christina?
My husband and my son.
Oh, yes.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Well, you pulled the right rein with Sherbet, because I would have been horrified to hear you'd had a crush on William Shakespeare.
No, I couldn't handle that at school. That was boring.
Well, I think he is available if you're thinking of biting, Christine. Thanks very much. Now we'll talk to Joe. Joe, who did you have a crush on?
I'm not sure if you remember. Years ago, there was a show on TV called with a little puppet alien.
What's it called?
The Alf.
Elf. Yes, nothing. You had a crush on Elf.
No, Elf. I'm the sister in the family. For some reason, every time I watched the show, I always thought, you know, something could happen one of these days.
Yes, okay. And nothing says 1980s like Elf for mine.
Yeah.
And I never used to watch Elf, and this might just be a personal thing. I could never watch a show where the main character's nose seemed to resemble a turd. That was a problem for me, so I don't know who you're talking about. The chick from Elf. That's an obscure one.
The best you get hooked up to Foxtel too.
Every now and then.
All right, thanks, Joe. Who have we got next, Mickey?
It's Mark. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Who'd you have a crush on?
Oh, I shouldn't be saying this because it's about your wife.
Oh, your wife? Who'd your wife have a crush on?
Oh, my wife had the crush on the singer out of the Bay City Rollers.
Oh, the singer. Now, is he the one who's in jail now? I think one of them's in jail. I don't know, importing tartan or something.
I reckon if I spoke to her, she'd keep me updated.
Right. And does she still have all the old... oh, is Eric, our producer, of course, knows who it is.
He's still wearing the pants, by the way.
Yes. And has she still got all the old records, Mark, the Bay City Road?
Yeah, she's got the records. She's. I think she's even got one of those tartan scarves.
Right.
And she's even got one of the old pillows with the Bay City Rollers on out in the garage.
And, Mark, do you ever see yourself kind of competing with Eric from Bay City Rollers for your wife's attention?
Well, I used to, because I used to have my hair down to my shoulders, blonde hair and all.
Right. And have you ever thought of, just for a romantic evening, getting yourself some of the tartan gear and, you know, slipping a bit of Bay City Rollers on the stereo and sort of come charging out, you know, a bit like Homer Simpson when he was wearing the Mr. Plough jacket and doing that little dance. Have you thought of turning on something like that of a Saturday night, Mark?
Well, I should. Probably about the only way
I'll
get him in.
All right. Well, I see. Okay, the marriage. Right. All right, Mark. It's on the Bay City Rollers. Okay. Thanks very much, Mark. Finally, we're going to talk to Carla. Carla, who'd you have a crush on?
Oh, MacGyver.
MacGyver.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. And
I was only 12. I can't stand the show now.
Oh, really? He's lost favour with you?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And what was it that that was so appealing about MacGyver?
Oh, he could do anything with anything.
Yeah.
Couldn't he? Imagine having a man around like that.
Like MacGyver. That'd be fair. You know, you need some milk from the shops. He's got the abseiling gear out. He's down there. He's hanging onto the back of a car. Fantastic.
Oh, someone like that around the house would be great.
All right, MacGyver.
MacGyver. Someone's gone mad.
All right, you're our winner today. You've got tickets to Love and Other Catastrophes, Carla. It's a new Australian film, but don't be put off by that. It's quite good. And also, you've got the CD soundtrack, and you've gone into the draw for the brand new Volkswagen hatchback.
Oh, yes, I need a car.
All right, well, it could be you, and be listening in about 2.5 weeks' time. We'll be drawing the winner. Thanks for playing the Love Machine on Mark Boy.
I'm loving her.
Free Everything Is Good For You. That's one of the new tracks on the Recurring Dream compilation, which is out in the shops now, and every home should have one, I feel. It's a good... Not only do you get the Recurring Dream, you also get a special edition live album, which goes along with it, if you hurry. And hello to Hesto, if you're listening in the shed at home. And just before we go, Mickey, any business to clear up? How was that? I think we're going to have to do the Childhood Crushes again on Love Machine, because we had to turn away so many calls.
Yep, and I'm surprised none of our female callers, Tayden, mentioned the dad from Mork and Mindy, because I'm sure there would have been legions of female admirers looking at that noggin and going, it must be mine.
Was he the same dad from Eight Is Enough?
No, but I'm sure he filled in on occasion without anyone knowing.
Was he the same dad from that show with Christy McNichol, whatever that was? Oh, Family, yeah. I think it was called.
Well, I can't remember seeing that one.
That's going way back. But anyway, before we go, any crumbs to take care of? Yes, well, it's been the day of Peter Costello's hole. Everywhere you look, you're staring deep into Peter Costello's $10.3 billion hole. And I don't know much about economics, but what's the answer? How are they going to get it down? Getting rid of back chat on the ABC or something?
Yeah, that's it. That'll do it.
They're taking the axe to the AB.
65 mil. What's that going to involve? Well, they got nothing to flog off. It's not like they can save a lot on wardrobe. Seen their dramas? Every ABC drama I see, I think, is set in the 1960s. It's because the fashion is just a joke. I'm yet to see a jacket that doesn't have two leather pads on the elbows. What are they doing? I look at GP and I'm thinking, Jesus, that must be one of the first shows ever made in colour.
Do you think that's what we're going to see? To get rid of Costello's hole, we're going to have to just sell off all the ABC wardrobe. You see people walking up the street dressed as the Natural Seven from the Saturday Show.
See someone coming.
I'm helping to save our economy.
Here comes a bloke in a smoking jacket and a cravat. Oh, no.
Okay, well, what else? Just quickly, I know there's been an update on the Eric Douglas case. Eric Douglas is, of course, he's the Zeppo of the Douglas family, the Kirk Douglas, Michael Douglas dynasty. And he's finally been jailed because of this case we've been hearing about for quite some time, where he went nuts on a plane. And I didn't realise that part of going nuts on the plane involved letting his dog out of its cage during a flight, just let it run around the actual aircraft. I'd like to see that. I'd like to be on a flight where dogs are loose. I think that's a fantastic idea.
I think so.
It'd be fun. It'd just be, lots of, leg-humping action. It'd be just tummy rubs for every... That'd be fantastic. I'd like to see a running of the bulls on every flight, on every commercial flight.
The running of the bull terriers.
I'm sure Eric Douglas will be working on it when he gets out of the big house. And also good news today for, and I'm not going to try and pronounce his name, but it's the bloke who's Dougie, the Pizza Hut delivery boy. He's going to keep his job despite losing his licence.
That's going to make things a little bit difficult, don't you think?
Yeah.
What's he going to do, deliver him on a bike? He's got himself a pizza round.
He'll still have the pizza van, but it'll be a stuntman. It'll be somebody who looks nothing like him in the wide shots, and then he just Dougie getting out.
It won't have an engine. It'll be like one of those Flintstone cars. It'll be Dougie with little feet coming out the bottom, pulling up out the front of the house.
Didn't Dougie, I'm not sure about the details, but I was reading at one point that during the accident in question, didn't he like go the crimp on his own tongue?
Now that was a rumour at one stage. Yeah, I heard he'd bitten it off.
Oh, there. And they've obviously reattached it. Just keep an eye out. You'll be seeing new TV ads for Pizza Hut any day now. But anyway, we must go. I think that's our cue. And thanks to our guests, Sue Ann Post, and all our gladiators and love machinists. We'll be back tomorrow to put Tony Barber under the microscope about the Burjo Gate affair. Be listening tomorrow when we get to the bottom of the Wheel of Fortune controversy with one Tony Barber live on the show. And the show ain't over yet, people, because just before we go, check this out.
This week on Martin Molloy, Robbie Coltrane is cake shop owner.
Hi, I'd like one of those vanilla slices in the window.
Oh, I'm sure you would.
Sorry?
You've had your eyes on it for quite a while, haven't you?
Look, I was just...
Every day you walk past this shop and see it sitting there on the shelf looking up at you, mocking you with its tight little crumbly biscuit base and its delicious vanilla body, and it's looking at you, nobody but you, and it's saying, you're nothing, you'll never be anything, and it makes you feel cheap.
This is...
And you want to get at it, don't you? Show it who's boss. You want to grab that vanilla-flavoured pastry and give it a lesson it'll never forget, don't you?
No, I...
Don't be afraid to talk about it. Now's your chance. It may be the only chance you'll get.
I just want...
Won't? Of course you do. Don't worry, I understand. I've been there. But once you've had that vanilla slice, that won't be the end of it. Oh, no. You'll have to find another and eat again in a desperate attempt to slake your lust, for that's what it is, a nameless craving for confectionery, pure, clean, unspoiled confectionery, sitting there looking up at you saying, come on, big boy, eat me, eat me.
Listen, listen.
Eat me, come on, treat me, Ruff, I'm asking for it, but it's a cry for help, isn't it? Because deep down, you know that that vanilla slice is just like you, dirty, disgusting filth, not fit to walk on God's earth.
Look, here's $2, just give me...
Oh, so you don't mind paying for it? Interesting. Does your wife know you live your life this way?
This has nothing to do with...
Of course it doesn't. I'm sure she makes a lovely vanilla slice, but no, you'd much rather slink down here for a bit of the rough stuff.
Right, that's it.
Did your mother make your vanilla slice?
What are you talking
about? Oh, now it's starting to add up. Did she make your lamingtons? Did she tell you that if you're a good little boy, you'd get a nice bit of blueberry pie?
Blueberry?
Aye, like the pie in this picture. Look at it. Look at it. It. Unfinished, mutilated, and here's another one, and another. Is that ringing any bells? You're so make me sick, but you know what? Right now, I'm the only friend you've got. That's it. Get it out of your system. Go on, think of me as a giant pavlova. That's it. Knock the cream out of me. I'm asking for it, aren't I?
Robbie Coltrane, cake shop owner, coming soon.
You'll be back! You'll be back!